Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and brick by brick, we're building a playbook to success. I'm here at SoFi Stadium, the greatest stadium ever built. It's amazing what $5.5 billion will build you. Plus, they had to add a little bit of extra money for the World Cup to be here as well to extend the field, if you didn't know that. But everything is built from zero to one and then one to 100. In fact, it takes as much time to get from zero to one as it does from one to 100. And that's true in every aspect. That's why AI is so powerful. Not only does it make humans more human, but it exponentially accelerates zero to one. So whether you're looking for leads, funnels, conversion, whether you're writing a book, creating a podcast, a meme, some sort of content, it is that zero to one that's so boring and takes so long. And Will Brick is building brick by brick AI tool with XAI that allows people like me and other entrepreneurs and enterprises in order to facilitate, which means to make easy that zero to one by finding and synthesizing data that has the greatest statistical success in what you do. Welcome to the playbook, Will Brick.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I feel like I'm being Ivy League shamed with all my guests today. They all seem to have gone to schools that I got rejected from in multiple occasions for undergrad, law school, and business school. But beyond that, I'm really intrigued because you were a physics major at Harvard, if I'm not mistaken. And I study outside of the Ivy League, study physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics. I think understanding physics is essential to understanding the infinite and allows for almost what AI allows for the zero to one. Where was the relativity for you and your understanding of physics and applying that, maybe mathematically, but also just theoretically, applying what you've learned in physics to the capability of AI?
Well, yeah, I mean, I came into college studying physics because I wanted to understand how the universe works. And I quickly realized that like humans are too dumb to figure out how
the universe works. You're not. I tell people that all the time as an example.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Like, I'm a living example.
Yeah, like we're kind of like, it's like trying to like teach a monkey how quantum mechanics works, like teaching a human how the universe works. Like it might be above our brains. And that's actually why I also got excited by computer science in college. And I studied both. But then lean towards computer science because I thought, you know, if we could just make AI systems that are smarter than us, then they could go and figure out physics and just tell us. And hopefully we could understand their explanation. So that's how I got into AI because I was interested in understanding how the world works. And then that led to where I am today.
It's interesting because my involvement in still daily study of physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics led me to faith because of the same hypothesis that human beings just aren't capable of understanding the infinite. And it became a mathematical equation to me with trillions of variables and the capacity of a human brain and mind. Where was the intersection to be able to understand all these things? And instead of going down the route of AI, which I understand, which is why, you know, I'm probably one of the biggest supporters, promoters, ambassadors that ever could be for XAI, because I get it. And I think it has a quantitative value far beyond what even human beings are capable of imagining. But I went down the other route of saying, okay, human beings are incapable of understanding the evidence or no evidence apparent in what we need to do both personally and professionally. Therefore, I have to have faith. I'm curious, in building XAI, which is to me the most powerful tool for entrepreneurs and business owners, you know, was there any exploration in faith with the lack of evidence or evidence being contrary to technology being able or capable of synthesizing that data?
Well, okay, I mean, so XAI is a search engine that helps AIs actually find information. It also helps humans find information. And so I think it's like being a search engine, it's an extremely important tool for these AI systems to figure out the answers to the universe, right? Like, you know, when OpenAI trains a language model like GPT-4, it's very, very good at reasoning. But it doesn't know everything about the world. So you need to pair that GPT-4 with a search engine like Exa that could find you all the information. And you could ask, then when you pair it with Exa, then you could ask it, hey, find me all these sales leads, and it'll go find that. Exa will find that, give it to the AI. You could also ask it, hey, give me all the possible theories of the universe, and Exa will go scan the whole web for theories of the universe and give that to the AI. The AI can scan it.
So it's utilizing a certain component or capability of AI to be a search engine of AI, correct?
Yeah, so like our search engine is for AIs. It's also built using AI systems.
There's correct.
A lot of AI inside it.
It's AI squared.
Yeah. Has it affected my faith? I would say I stand by where I was at the beginning of college, which is we have no idea where the universe comes from. It's probably some crazy answer. Who knows what it is? But that's really all I can say. I want to know what that answer is, but I don't know what it is right now.
So if I told you I have a very similar belief, which I call best option faith. Hmm. So for me, because when I don't know something or I'm humble enough to say it's far beyond my reach or scope or scale of what I can imagine, I say to myself, okay, in order to help myself, I should believe in the best option then. Hmm. So like, for example, I love life. So I can't prove whether or not you have past lives or future lives or multiverse lives. But I know I love life, therefore I'm going to believe that I get more than one life because it's the best option according to what I prioritize or believe or qualify in my own life. For faith, I just say there's something bigger than me that loves me more than my mom. Therefore, when shit happens I don't understand, instead of feeling punished, I feel protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. Now, beyond the faith side, there is a serious value to Exa AI, which is an AI search engine of AI. There's a lot of multiplicity in the AI that exists in Exa AI, but it is very specific, which makes it very powerful. So if I'm David Meltzer, speaker, author, entrepreneur, and I'm looking to generate a community of people that want to help each other, know people that help each other, to make more money, help more people, and have more fun, I, coming from before you were born, the search engine business, right? I made my first money working for Westlaw, which had the first natural language searching. I literally spent years in Boolean language searching. So understand how data synthesized through searching, understand Exa AI in particular from my own community building and monetization efforts. There's nothing that parallels it. What are the distinctive capabilities of Exa AI that allow David Meltzer and people like David Meltzer and businesses like the businesses that I own have that 0-to-1 capability, the efficiency, the effectiveness, and statistical success that is unparalleled by anything else?
Yeah, so we developed our own technology for search. I think it helps to take a step back and realize that search is actually not solved, because when I tell people I'm working on a search engine, like when I tell my dad I'm starting a search engine, he's like, what's wrong with you? Like, haven't you heard of Google? And I always be like, oh, Google, I haven't heard of that. What is that? No, but of course I've heard of Google.
There's the Harvard humor.
Like, of course, Google exists, and people think, oh, Google has solved search. It's actually not true at all. Google is very good at simple queries. You know, if I want the homepage of Costco, or if I want Taylor Swift's boyfriend, or something like that. These are not my queries. But
or Ike's Deli.
Ike's Deli. Like, Google's great at that. That's what it was built for. But if you want, if you're David Meltzer and you want to you know, create a community of people of a certain type, and you want to find, you know, every entrepreneur and potential entrepreneur in the Los Angeles area who, you know, graduated college in the last 4 years. If you type that into Google, do you think it's going to give you like a list? It doesn't, right? Like, Google just can't handle those types of complex queries. And when I was thinking about it, like, there are so many types of searches that would be so valuable, but you can't do with a tool like Google. So we were like, okay, what if you could build a search engine that's way more powerful? And we were very inspired. So we started Exa in 2021. We were very inspired by, like, OpenAI had recently built GPT-3, so it's before ChatGPT, but not many people knew about it. But GPT-3 was extremely powerful at understanding like very complex language. And the thinking was, what if you could have a search engine that's just as powerful? Like, why can't we have a search engine that understands the web in all these powerful ways? And we just went ahead and went and tried to build it. And it was actually a research project. Like, for a year and a half, me and a couple people at Exa just like banged our head against the wall trying to build a new algorithm for search. And we did it. And so, leading to answer your question, like, what is the algorithm? We really focus more on like semantic understanding of the web as opposed to keyword understanding. So like Google does this like keyword comparison algorithm. That's why it's great at like, you know, you type in, yeah, like homepage Costco, like the homepage of Costco matches those keywords. But if you're looking for like people who are doing entrepreneurship, they might not say on their LinkedIn, hey, I'm doing entrepreneurship. They might say, hey, I've just built a startup. So you need to be able to handle the kinds of searches that you said, you need to have a deep semantic understanding of the web. And that's what we're building at Exa.
You know, so funny, when I was young, I went to Dwight Opperman, the owner of West Publishing, and we were in the merger and acquisition with Thomson Reuters. They thought it was going to be $1.2 billion in 1995. It ended up being $3.4 billion. And I went to him and said, well, before you do this, you should really consider the fact that you're limited by the database of all the official reporters, secondary materials, statutes as the official reporter of the states, all 50, and the federal government. Why wouldn't you expand the natural language search engine that you have that was based off of a key number system, which had key numbered all the legal issues out there? So you had criminal law and then a sub, and it fit into today what Google is or any other search optimization tools that were there. And I remember him telling me at the time, son, we've been since 1876 in the legal research business, please let me go ahead. And then when he sold it for $3.4 billion, he laughed at me. And I said, you could have sold it for $10 billion, mark my words. And I think that would have been a great bargain if somebody would have applied it to real estate and medicine and insurance and all the other data that sat in NCR servers in 1995 in the hills of wherever they were buried.
Well, it's an interesting point because I think the search space is so big that there are like $3 billion opportunities everywhere. There's also a $300 billion opportunity, which Google makes $300 billion a year. But there's like search is really, what is search? It's like knowledge about the world. And like we're in the knowledge business. And so if we could provide all sorts of knowledge that Google can't, which we already do, there's a lot of money to be made there. We're not trying to be Google. We're trying to be something different. And there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Not that Google may not be interested in someday in acquiring you instead of building it on their own, be a lot cheaper. But it brings up another area of human nature. Now, I study history only for one reason, not because it's very exciting or interesting to me, but it's the best way that I learn human nature. And the one thing I know about time is human nature never changes. And if I understand human nature, then I can apply technologies like XAI to human nature, which provides me more options and opportunities, even within my VIP dinners or masterminds. I'm oversold to everything because I can use XAI and create a statistical success, a database in which I can invite more people to come and be part of a frequency. And there is a frequency to a search engine, and you have elevated the frequency of the search. So I teach people to ask. For whatever weird reason or coincidence in the universe, I get out of law school and I don't become an oil and gas litigator. I get involved in the internet's real first search engine, Boolean language, Westlaw, on DOS, 9600 baud modems. And I continue my career, ironically, relative to finding or searching. And now in a theoretical context, I am an asker, right? I am asking, and I have all these different tools. I have prayer I can ask, I have meditation I can ask, I have cold calling I can ask, I have business development in person on the phone via email, social media asks, all of these things I can ask. And then I come across you guys, Exa.ai, and being probably one of the preeminent, as far as longevity goes, of somebody that understands searching, that is a capability that I have. I understand what words to ask, whether it's in my prayers or in business as a cold caller, but I also know how to utilize Exa.ai because good data in, good data out. The one thing I noticed about Exa.ai using it is it's a lot easier than any of the asks that I could make otherwise. What is it that it's built on that allows me to have that flexibility, like you said, that I can just say, hey, I'm doing a VIP dinner in Los Angeles. I'm looking for people that have read Wayne Dyer, you know, Power of Intention, and maybe graduated from a philosophy degree or whatever it is. And it just comes up with like really accurate people.
Yeah. Yeah. Perhaps one way to see how it's so powerful is that we just put a lot more power into it. Because, you know, when you type in a search to Google, no matter how complex your request, Google will still take half a second. Whether you're searching for something super simple or something like extremely complex, like give me every math solution to this problem and ever stated in the history of the world, like Google's gonna take half a second. Whereas Exa, actually, sometimes you might have noticed it takes like a minute or even 10 minutes.
Yeah.
For some customers, it's taken a whole day where we get like 50,000 results that all match. And what we're doing is we're just putting a ton of computer power into the search. And it's because we've realized that like not all searches are made equal and some searches demand like a ton of compute. So that's probably what makes it easier.
Now, I'm going to take a step back. I love to ask questions that are above the game. And I'm a frequency person. I believe in the vibrations of the universe, that awareness lies within our own frequency. And this conversation to me reminds me of when I sat down thousands of interviews ago with Raj Ruparel, the founder of Groupon. And I think Justin was here, Bradley. But Bradley was my Nick. So he traveled everywhere with me, and he got to sit into this interview. And he had never been into an interview where the frequency was that much different than every other one. You can feel the frequency of this interview. You can feel a different vibration by the capability that Will has. And for me, even being an interviewer or someone who loves to have conversations like that, it's nice for me because I get to truly utilize my own bandwidth, my own spectrum of the vibration or frequency that I'm at. So being able to, I mean, I am moving so fast listening and thinking, because you can't just hear, right? We have to qualify and then come up with pertinent questions for you from coming from your side of it. For me, it's spectacular and I'm enjoying it immensely. And I hope people are able to follow it, how quick the frequency is of this interview. But for you, number one, do you have a relative awareness to the frequency of this interview? And two, I'd love for you to explain maybe your perspective when you get into a conversation like this that isn't normal. You probably can't have these conversations with many people, or people sit there when you talk like this. And my own son said this the other day to me, Dad, you realize nobody, excuse my language because he's 15. So Dad, you realize nobody knows what the fuck you just said. And I really thought like everybody was amazed by me, and he's looking at me going, Dad, like everyone's rolling their eyes. You are, and I worry sometimes that because I can move at this pace and this frequency, I'm just curious from your perspective, that feeling, that frequency, your awareness of it, one or two, your perspective of this conversation, if it is different than other conversations and what that means to you.
I am having a ton of fun in this conversation. I think I love talking about this stuff, and I love getting the, you know, I see some of you nodding your heads while I'm saying things, like hopefully I'm expressing ideas that you haven't heard before, which gets me excited. Also, I'm just like, I mean, I've been working on this for 4 years. It's like my life mission. I've been thinking about these problems for more than 4 years. I've always cared about the way we get information, and like I've tried to do projects many times, from like even when I was a kid to now, high school, college to now, like in this space. So the fact that I get to build in this space is very exciting to me, and so I also like to talk about it because it's just fun. Do I feel the frequency? I mean, yeah, you seem like a really awesome guy.
Yeah, I'm searching for a compliment.
I do have a very optimistic view of the world, and like, so I think I have great conversations with everyone, you know. Particularly it seems like you think a lot
moving
about
faster.
Space. Yeah.
Good. Quick question. So a lot of people, when they're so passionate and purposeful in their definiteness of purpose, their divine direction, and I can see everything in the answers that you give, as well as your own attention, shows me that you have a definiteness of purpose. You've had it before, during, and after college, and you're really honed in on that purpose. How does money, because you are an entrepreneur, you have a business, and a lot of people like you that have this excitement and optimism about what they're doing and the innate understanding for enlightenment about what they're doing, have a problem reconciling making money. So I'll run into engineers all the time that are completely brilliant with amazing solutions, but they just don't get money. And I have a really difficult time in coaching or mentoring or consulting of like, dude, I get what you're saying, but there's no market. You can't make any money. You seem to have a really good grasp on the business side. What's your philosophy or strategy as far as monetizing your technology?
Yeah, I mean, okay, luckily the business is growing really fast.
Intentionally.
Partly luck, partly intention. I think, well, when we started the company, we didn't know how we were going to make money. We just were like, we're going to go build a search engine that's better than Google.
See, that seems more normal for a guy like you.
And Paul Graham, big Silicon Valley tech guy, he says that, like, you could have a very clear vision about, like, how exactly your plan's going to work, but you're going to be wrong. And often it's better to just be like Columbus, where you're just like, okay, I feel like there's value over there. I'm going to go sail towards it. And that's kind of how we started. I think now the business is coming together and it's growing very fast, and we see much more clearly how we can get value from it. We make revenue two ways. One is usage-based. Like, we have an API, so people can programmatically use our search engine in all their applications, which is a very novel thing. And every company now needs search in like lots of different ways. And
internally and externally.
Internally and externally, and the inbound is just insane, which is just great. So like, we're just trying to field that inbound. But also with this product called WebSets, which we've been talking about, where you could wait a minute and get a really good list of results, we charge per subscription. And I think the market there is also just huge because like everyone needs to do sales. Everyone needs to do recruiting. Our tool seems to be the best sales and recruiting tool in the world, as far as I'm aware. And we just got started. We only had a couple engineers working on this, and now we just doubled that team. There are so many things that are coming that are going to be ridiculously cool. And so I think it's just going to make a lot of money. So me and my co-founder are getting very, very excited about the potential of this business now. And I think it could be a really big thing. It's starting to become hard to see how this doesn't become a big thing. I had a joke. Yeah, anyway.
No, I'm listening here as we finish up, and hopefully we'll have time for a couple of questions. But I'm a case study of it, right? I'm someone who has used it, and people look at me and going, what's happened? Like, everything I go to is oversold, standing room only. Everything that you do, your brand is everywhere, you're everywhere. And I literally say, have you ever heard of Exa.ai? Because there's so much incoming, not just for you, but for the people that use it. And being who I am and where I am in my life, it's been a huge blessing, a quantitative value that has had the same outcomes that you're at a more macro level experiencing. And I just wanted to thank you for helping build my community, my brand, and also allow me to make more money, help more people, and have more fun. That's what Exa AI does, which is aligned with my mission of empowering over 1 billion people to be happy in that way by making a lot of money and living in abundance to help for the sake of other people. And of course, if I'm going to be doing it and you're going to be doing it, we're going to have a lot of fun. I want to thank Mr. Brick by Brick, where there's a will, there's a way. Will Brick, the co-founder of Exa AI. Thanks for joining me. Yeah.